able to focus on you. We're not going to be distracted, God. And so, Heavenly Father, God, we come against distraction, God. Let us focus on your word, God. And let us seek you with all that we have. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
All right. Everything we have, right?
That's right.
Everything we have.
Forever he shall reign. He's alive.
Jesus, we glorify your name, Jesus. Thank you, Father, that you have restored me, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you have brought me from death and you have brought me into life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We glorify you tonight, Lord. We put our hope and we put our trust in you, Jesus. You are never changing. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. I have a quick testimony here. I was really struggling with my week last week, and just, you know, the to-do list was mounting, and I like to get things done, and it just wasn't getting done, and I'll abbreviate this whole story, but basically, there was another believer that the Lord put in my path. And I didn't know I was needing prayer from another believer, but the Lord did. And he just like motioned. It was a, you know, you don't know the whole story, but he motioned to let me know, I'm praying for you. He went out of his way to let me know he was praying for me. And I didn't tell him my sad story. It was definitely the Holy Spirit that did that. And it's, you know, it may seem small and insignificant, but it's not. He cares about everything, every aspect of your life, all the details, everything, every part. If you lose your keys, pray. He'll help you find them. I'm telling you, I've done it a lot. All right. And he just reminded me, I went on after, you know, the Lord, I definitely knew that was a Holy Spirit appointment. And then later, not too long after that, I was going about the rest of my day. And I had been praying in the morning, every morning I had been praying this kind of same prayer of, Lord, I trust you with this day. I give you my day. And I'd been praying that really, I mean, just that was my focus for the whole week. And here I was at the end of the week, and I wasn't feeling like I was getting done what I needed to get done. And he just gently reminded me, hey, the steps of the righteous are ordered by God. You have prayed. You have prayed, Lord, I give you my day. I trust you with my day. So you better start trusting me. It's one thing to say it, but do you really believe? And that peace just washed over me to realize, man, Lord, I have given you this day. You do have this day, Father. And whatever junk back here didn't get done, it doesn't matter. Because it's right on what you wanted me to get done. And I don't know who that is for. And it might just be a reminder for me tonight, but I don't think so. I think we have a tendency to toil, you know, and to just get stuck in our stuff. And I just want you to be encouraged that he cares about every aspect and every detail of your life tonight. And he is a good father. And he loves you. And he wants you to lean on him and not on you. Amen. Lord, we praise you and we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you care for us, Father. We thank you that your love is everlasting, Lord. And we give you praise tonight. Thank you, Jesus.
All these pieces broken and scattered, in mercy gathered, mended and whole. Empty-handed, but not forsaken, I've been set free. I've been set free. Oh, amazing grace, how sweet the song that saved a wretch like me. Ooh, oh, I want.
Child of God. Lift your hands and praise Him, church. Lift your voice and praise Him, church. He's worthy of your praise. He's worthy of all the glory and the honor that we can muster. You're a little quiet, church. Tell Him how much you love Him, would you? Lift your voice to Him and tell Him, thank you for saving my soul. Thank you for filling me with your glorious presence, with your Spirit. Thank you for guidance and protection and blessing and help and health. Thank you, mighty God, for the answered prayers today. The many that I've already experienced today, prayers of people that we have put under the blood. Now, Lord, you've brought them through these situations, healings, deliverances. We praise you. We thank you. Church, can you tell Him you love Him? Can you say how much you thank Him? Jesus, we love you and praise you. And Lord, for any lingering needs, any new situations for anyone here, or those many that are watching online tonight, mighty God, I pray that your presence that's omnipresent would be right where they are tonight. God, in their home, in their room, in their travels, in this building right now, precious Holy Spirit, breathe over them with your peace and with your comfort, with your assurance, with your healing. Mighty God, we praise you and thank you. We thank you, Jesus, for all the good things that come from you. We thank you for our salvation above everything. Can you tell Him thank you for saving me? Thank you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. Let's take the old-fashioned version of that. Amazed, that key. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Sing it to the Lord. A cappella sing it.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Praise you and thank you, Jesus. We love you. We thank you, mighty God. Praise your name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I just feel, Natalie, come here just a minute. I want you to pray over this service. Hurry, quickly. God's got so many good things for us here tonight. If you meet in the house of God, He's going to meet you with help. And there's people here tonight that are heavy. People that have brokenness, people that have needs. But this is the place for you to come. Amen?
Amen?
This is the place for healing. I want you to pray the anointing of the Holy Spirit of your service and all the services that God breaks every chain tonight. Hallelujah.
Father, we just come to you, God, and
First and foremost, Father, I thank you for the cross. The cross has the final word. Father, I thank you, Jesus, for your presence that is so rich that it penetrates to the uttermost. I thank you, God, for the lost cause, for your mercy has never lost the grip, or your grace has never lost the address of the lost cause. I thank you, Lord, for the hopeless situation that you bend your knee to and you reach your hand to. For God, my Lord prevails. And I thank you, Jesus, that you are the chain breaker. I thank you for the anointing that we carry as a believer. Thank you, Father God, for the situations that are out of reach and out of touch that your mercy ministers to. I thank you that you're a God of compassion. I thank you, Jesus, that every trick and foothold of the enemy, you have authority. One drop of your blood and it was over. I thank you that for the believer, when our feet hit the ground, the victory was won. I think of David, who really did not fear not, for he knew when he put the stone in the sling, he was fighting not with words and not with swords, but in the name of the Lord God of armies. And I thank you that my God is a warring God. I thank you, Jesus, that every need I bring to you, it's yes and amen. I thank you, Father, that I can lay it at your altar and know that it is finished. So, Father, I come before you, and I represent the heaviness and the burden in this room. Lord, those that are carrying a yoke of oppression, depression, and addiction. I thank you, Lord, for lost children that are going to come home. I thank you that for cancer cells that are being healed. I thank you that the body is restored through the name of Jesus Christ, and it shall be in line with the word of God. And so, Lord, I just give this service to you. Let hope arise in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that you are victorious. Oh, Father, that there shall not be a word that rises against the cross of Jesus Christ. I shall not put faith in the kingdom of hell, for my Father rescued me from the pit and he put my feet on a firm foundation. He crowned me with loving kindness, and your mercies are surpassing what I could ever imagine. So I thank you, Father God, that I rest in your victory. The battle is yours, Father, and it's a privilege to serve you, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Yeah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Turn to somebody, give them a little wave, and have a seat. Amen. You're not giving a little wave yet, but just go ahead and do it. I'm so glad to see you on this rainy Wednesday night. But it's not rainy in my heart. Is it rainy in your heart? Somebody say no. No, praise God. I'm glad to see you. Don't forget all the announcements you heard earlier about this coming weekend. I just put the final touches on our revival, April 11, 12, 13, 14, right in there. I'm going to be preaching Sunday morning. Dr. Johnny Mann can be preaching Sunday night. The Bishop of the Church of God, Tim Hill, will be preaching Monday night and Tuesday night. And I think they're all leaving to go someplace else, and you might get stuck with me Wednesday night. But we're going to have a time. How many wants to have a time? Amen. We're going to have a time. Praise God. Praise God. So keep that in your prayer as you go along. And God's already given me a word for this coming Sunday morning. Now, if Jesus comes before Sunday, I don't need to preach it. But if he doesn't, you want to be here. Amen. Boy. Four of you said amen. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, that was good. That was, oh my word, that was good. If you'll stand to your feet with me, I'm going to lead you very quickly. And I say that not quickly that it's not important, but I want to lead you right into the worship of tithe and offering. Listen to your pastor. Know my heart. I'm not saying what I'm saying for our benefit, even the church's benefit. I'm saying it for your benefit. Don't let anything rob you of the opportunity to tithe. Somebody say amen. Don't do it. Don't let anything rob you of that. Don't let anybody tell you that it's not biblical, it's not current, that's not true. You can't give to God and not get blessed. Amen. Make sure that you're a tither. If you're watching online, make sure you're tithing. Make sure that you're giving to God. And watch what God does. Amen. Father God, we come before you this evening, and we're bringing the first dime of every dollar we have. God, it's been designated yours. It's not ours. It's yours. So God, bless that we bring to you. in the two highest forms of worship that we can bring is trust and obedience. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that we joyfully bring your tithe and offerings. I thank you, God, for the blessings that are inevitable and can't be challenged. I thank you, Father God, that you've given us a word that grows us in you. And we're just going to give you praise for all the good things that you do and the blessings that come from knowing you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. If you have tithe and offering you want to bring to the front, do. You'd like to take care of it electronically, Brian's in the back. If you're watching online, PayPal, you've been so faithful with that. And let me thank all of you that are online with us right now that are watching and part of it. Leave us a note. Would you do it just while you're thinking of it? Pastor, I'm with you tonight. I see them from all over the country, from Pakistan, that great pastor, and from around the world, and even in this community. So thanks. Just leave us a note and say, I was here. Amen. Now, without just a whole lot of further ado, I'd like Restoration Connection, if you'll take your place, and if Freedom in Christ will move to your area, and all that are alive and remain might get raptured up in here tonight. Amen? Praise God. Visit in your areas. I have to say that, or we'll just stand here and hug each other for about 3 hours. That's right. That's just what we're like. So thank you so much. Thank you so much for your faithfulness. As they're leaving, let me just tell you how glad I am to see you that are here tonight. They're going to be having their services, and it's going to be a great time in God, but I just trust the Lord's going to bless us. I need a word from the Lord. Anybody else say amen to that? Praise God. If you're watching online, again, let us know you are, and God's going to give you a word through the word tonight. I'm so glad to have this great man of God. Hunter, come up here real quick. Mark, Hunter, quit talking. And come up here. Ask Hunter, come here, would you please? Hurry. Up here. Up here. Yeah. I have to speak real slow for attorneys. Let me try this again. Hunter. They were right in the middle of something. Which microphone can they use? Gary, which mic? This one? I want you to introduce Pastor Rodriguez. We have the greatest family, the Rodriguez family, which is, you have no idea how familiar that is in this house. I just talked to Pedro yesterday. He just got back from Ecuador. He'd been there for a while, and the missions are going great there. But I'm so glad to have the Rodriguez family, all of you that are of the family that's here tonight. I'll let you introduce him.
Not all of us lawyers are hard of hearing like I am, so Yeah, we're blessed tonight to have Pastor George Rodriguez with us. George and his wife Jill and their daughter Destiny and his parents, I learned a few weeks ago that they were going to be in Springfield at a homeschool basketball tournament. Their older daughter is playing basketball. And so I said, why don't you come speak at the Sanctuary of Hope Wednesday night, which he agreed to do. But George is from the Baton Rouge area. His wife is from Zachary, and they've been married 29 years. But they were called to Russia back in 95, I think. And they were missionaries in Russia for 14 years. And he pastored two churches over there. He eventually came back to the States. He pastored a church in the Baton Rouge area. Recently, as of September of last year, he was called to come be the associate pastor at the Vineyard in South Lake Charles, and I got to know him, and he's a wonderful man of God. He has a great testimony and a great message. He's what I call a soft-spoken, powerful preacher, is what he is. And I've even heard his dad speak, too. His dad was a preacher as well. But let's welcome George here tonight to share the word with us.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Yes, sir. Thank you, brother. Amen. How's everybody doing? Or how we say in Louisiana, how y'all are? How y'all are? It's good to be with you. And it's always a blessing to have new friends in the kingdom of God, new family to meet, brothers and sisters up here in Branson. And We're honored to be here. It's an honor and a privilege to stand here. I know the responsibility of being in the pulpit, and I don't take it lightly. And standing before you, I just pray that the Word of God would go forth in power, and you would receive it with a joyful heart. We're here, as Hunter had said, I'm here on homeschool business for basketball. My daughter, she plays basketball with the homeschoolers. And so I've been yelling a lot, you know, like, come on, good score. And so we've been having a good time with them. It's actually the Nationals. So we have people from Michigan, homeschoolers from all over in Springfield. And so I was privileged to be invited here to share with you guys. But I'm here with my wife, and we have three beautiful daughters. And one of them is a Russian daughter. She is in Russia right now. She's not able to be here with us, but hopefully in the future she will. We served in Russia, as Hunter said, for about 14 years. We grew up in Gonzales, Louisiana. All right, my last name is Rodriguez. I lived in Gonzales, but I don't know much Spanish. But I can speak a little Russian to you. But I think whenever I was a little baby, my parents put like Matthew, the Great Commission, in my bottle. You know, whenever I would drink it, because whenever I grew older, that's what it was on my heart. Of course, it was the Lord, and our pastor really preached missions to go out into the world and preach the gospel. And that's whenever I became a Christian, I was 20 years old. And I ended up in a jail holding cell for a DWI. And I remember in the jail, I was thinking, there's got to be a better life than this. I was looking at the drain of the jail with about 18 other people. And I was in there, and whenever I got out of jail, I went to my parents and I said, listen, I goofed it up, and I need Jesus. And that's when my dad, he explained it very simple. He said, God is here, and you went away from God. And you just need to turn around and come back to God. And we went to our pastors, and we went pray. And I fell on my knees and gave my heart to Jesus on that day. And after that time, we were married in 1992. And God has been really great in our lives and our marriage. And He's used us in Russia. Whenever we were called to, my wife, she had a career. She had just finished nursing school whenever we got married. So she had a career. She had it in her mind, all right? She had it planned out. We were going to build a house, you know, have some furniture, and have two cars. You know the plan. And that's what we did. I didn't even realize it, all right? She started accumulating furniture for the new house. We had land, and we were going to move there. And but I was praying. I was like, God, I am in your will. God, whatever you want. I was going into Bible school and studying to pastor. And God called me I went visit Russia for about 2 weeks. And God called me to Russia. I wept and wept. My dad and I went, and I just wept, and I couldn't get it off of my heart. And I came back, and my wife said, I said, I think God's called us there. And she said, well, He hasn't called me. And I said, okay. I said, good. I said, this is what I'll do. If God's called me, He can call you too. I've seen it too many times before where husbands will try to pull their wives, and their wives are just not ready. Thank God for wisdom. And so I just began to pray. And for about a year, just prayed. I didn't say a word. I just began to pray. Said, God, if you really called me, God, I want to go. And so I was praying. And she was at home one morning reading her Bible, all right? Kicked back on her sofa, looking, admiring all her furniture. And the Lord said, see everything I've given you. He said, if you step outside of my will, it can be taken all away. And that's the time she submitted. She says, I will. She said to the Lord, I'll go. And we did. We packed up everything, all that furniture. we sold it and got rid of it, stored some of it at her mom's, and we took off to Russia. And that was our goal there was, of course, to raise up Russian pastors and to help orphans. And God has done some amazing things there in Russia. And I want to share some of them with you, what he has done. You go to Russia and you think, I'm going to go and raise up. You go learn. Really, I learned whenever I went there to share the gospel. They taught me a lot, and I really love the Russian people. Actually, we went visit one before the service, a Russian lady, and I really love the Russian people. I'll share a few testimonies. But whenever we were in Russia, we had got to where we bought an apartment, and then we bought a car, and so it got to a point to where I was thinking, God, I'm gonna just stay here. We were pastoring a few churches in our organization. We have about 60 churches in Russia. And so God has really blessed us and the organization there that God has planted. And I was just planning to, you know, live there. And we applied for a green card. And I think that was the red flag. That was a caution to them for some reason. We applied for it, and I went to the administration, immigration place, and I went there, and I went to check on my visa, my green card, and they told me, you have 2 weeks to leave the country. And I was like, whoa, what? They said, you've broken some laws here. And I was like, yeah, right. I said, what laws? And they said, Article 8, Section 6. And I said, I don't know what that is. And they said, well, you should know. They were rude. They were like, you should know. And make a long story short, they accused us of, they said we were a danger to the Russian people and we're acting out against the Constitution. In other words, they just wanted us out of the way. So they gave us 2 weeks after being there for 14 years to leave the country. It was almost like a death to us, but God healed us since then. But I remember talking to the lady. I said, "What's the deal?" She said, "Well, we don't like your kind." And I said, "Well, some people do, because they come to our church. They do like our kind." And I was red. I was like, I wasn't soft spoken, but I said, all I could get out of me was, "God bless you," and I walked away. And that's whenever we had to get it. We set someone in as pastor, and the church is still going there. Rough time. They went through the COVID, you know, stuff, and they are plowing through it, and it's really a tough time for them. But I wanted to share the word with you, if you will open up your heart to what God has. We're living in some interesting times, aren't we? We are living exciting, and I believe that God is doing some things. And I believe that God is going to begin to do some things here in this place, in this area. As I was praying and worshiping, Brother Sam, I did feel this. I felt like the Lord was telling you and you guys here that there is going to begin. I saw like eagle wings, and I felt like the Lord is going to begin to renew some areas in your life to strengthen you. Even in youthfulness, and get ready for that. Get ready to run, like the Bible says, that God will, you will run and not be weary, amen, and great things are ahead, so I'm believing for that. So Lord, I pray that your blessings would be upon this word, God, and may our hearts be ready to hear and to do all that you called us to do. And I thank you for it. God, bless this time and our times together in Jesus' name. In Matthew chapter 24, it says this. It says in verse 12, Jesus speaking, Matthew chapter 24. And I'm going to go to another portion of Scripture, almost one of my favorite portions in the next one. And what I want to talk about is that there is more than meets the eye. You ever heard that expression? You're looking at something and somebody says, you know what? There's really more than meets the eye than what you're looking at. And if you could think about an iceberg, you know, you look at an iceberg, it's got that top level, but there is a whole lot underneath there. And this is what we're seeing in our lives and what the times that we're living in. There's more than meets the eye around you. Maybe in your family, you got some chaos in your family, or it's not like it should be, and God's saying, wait a minute, there's more here. Don't give up. My parents are here. They have been a great influence in my life. They have, I used to call my mom the FBI, because she would chase after me and pray over me. I found handkerchiefs underneath my pillows, and until I surrendered to the Lord. But we need to be cautious that we go to the end, that we worship all the way to the end, that we make it to the end. You can't start and you can't stop. You know what faith means? Faith means faithing. It's like, I'm going to keep faithing. It just in the Greek, it just never stops. If you say, I have faith in Christ, it means that I am never going to stop believing. But you got to put some things in your heart or on a list that you're not going to stop whenever things get difficult, right? Whenever the government locks you up, whenever they interrogate you, whenever someone cuts you off in your drive, and you're going to continue that worship. I didn't hear any amen on that one, but Matthew 24, verse 12, it says this, and because lawlessness will increase, the love of many will grow cold. You got to expect that, right? But the one who endures to the end will be saved, and this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Safeguard yourself. One time I was in church, all right, and I was sitting in church and I was thinking, have you ever had in church, you get tired, and it's like, you know, God, I'm ready to go home. And then I began to question myself, why am I sitting in church thinking I want to go home? And I was like, God, I want to be excited about being around other brothers and sisters. And the Lord showed me, he says, it's something in your heart that's lawless. And your love is growing cold. And God began to show me, he says, you got to get that out of your heart so that you don't grow cold in these last times. We are headed like this. This is how it's getting smaller and smaller and smaller. I can see it. There are some things that I smelled in Russia, and I could smell it here in America. And we as a church, either we're going to get quiet and back up, or we're going to get louder for him. And our option right now is to get louder. And I encourage you here in Branson to get louder for the Lord Jesus. Send missionaries. Don't stop spreading the word, the good news. Because there are many people who are without him. They don't have a knowledge. And I believe that God has sent me here for such a time as this. But be careful that sometimes offenses, lawlessness, it can create your wrong thinking. It can stop you short because you don't see the hope. There's more that meets the eye. There's more going on that you got to be awakened to, that God wants you to raise you up. So if you're going to go to the end, there's got to be more that meets your eye. And I just want to share with you that one time I was coming, I went to a village in Russia, which is the village of Mikhailov, and we went there to preach the gospel. It was a bunch of Armenians. They're from the country of Armenia, and we went preach there. And on the way back, I'll tell you that story, but on the way back from that village, we were driving, and there was going into the city, there was a huge column of flame coming up from a plant. And there was a fog, and you could see a fire from the sky to that plant. And God showed me, he said, that's how you should look. That's how we should see ourselves, as Holy Spirit-filled Christians, that wherever you walk, that the flame of God is connected to heaven. There's no interruption here, that God wants to fill us and encourage you, even in your house, whenever you have a heated discussion with your wife. God wants to be there, flow through you, with you. In Deuteronomy chapter 2 and verse 25, I love this portion of scripture. I'm going to get to a point here. It says this, in chapter 2 and verse 25, it says, this day, can you say this day? I will begin to put the dread and the fear of you upon the nations under the whole heaven. You who shall hear the report of you and shall tremble and be in anguish because of you. Isn't that awesome? That you, how many of you believe in Jesus? Come on. How many of you believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that God's power is on the inside of you? He says that wherever you walk, that whatever you walk into, whatever situation, he says he's going to put fear on the enemy. Not long ago, we were invited to go pray for someone, and the daughter, there was a husband and wife, and the daughter was deaf. And we went to the house, and whenever we got into the house, the mom and the daughter stayed in there, and the dad went outside. They had not been coming long, but we went and prayed for the daughter, and it took us about an hour to really break in. She wasn't a believer, and we began to pray over her. My main goal was the salvation and healing upon her body, and she was in a depressed state, and she could not eat. So we began to read the Word of God over her. God, I pray that you would touch her, and before long, you could see the Spirit of God moving upon this young lady. And she grabbed her plate. She couldn't hear, and she began to eat. Her face was different. Even her mom and her aunt said, your face is different. And she stood up, and she was excited. She received Christ, and I want to work with her more for her healing, to get some of the Word of God. I sat next to her, and I began to read the Word of God to her. She read it, and I read it. And you could see God working in that situation. She got saved. And we prayed for her, and we were walking out of the house, and her dad was there, and I could see him disturbed. I could see him holding onto the truck, and he was looking at our vehicle. And whenever it was me and my cousin, we walked out. And whenever I walked up, the wife said, you want them to pray for you? And he almost went crazy. He's like, no, 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 no. Almost seething. Stumbling, jumping, getting away from us. And I said, look at me. I was trying to get him to look at me. And he wouldn't look at me. And I said, uh-huh, there it is. So we got some work to do on there. But my point is this, is that whenever you get filled with the Holy Spirit, that demons are subject to the Holy Spirit that's on the inside of you. That fear is no longer in operation there. Amen? That fear, that you begin to cast out fear. I remember there was a 50-year-old man. He couldn't sleep without the light on. He was fearful of the dark. God delivered him. And God wants us to walk in that. But in order to that to happen, you have to get your spiritual eyes even brighter of what God wants to do in your life. Here's a story I want to read very quickly. 2 Kings, this is one of my favorite stories. 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 8. One of my good stories about Elijah. It says this in verse 8. It says, Once when the king of Syria was warring against Israel, he took counsel with his servants, saying, at such and such a place shall be my camp. But the man of God sent word to the king of Israel. Notice who the man of God sent word to the king of Israel. He said, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are going down there. And the king of Israel sent to the place about which the man of God was told. Thus he used to warn him. That's the word of knowledge there. So that he saved himself more than once or twice. And the mind of the king of Syria was greatly troubled because of this. And he called his servants and he said to them, will you not show me who of us is for the king of Israel? And one of the servants said, none, my lord, O king, but it's Elijah, the prophet who is in Israel. He tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. Come on. You think things are secret? You think God's even more in our bedroom? He knows a lot about what we do. And he said this, and verse 13, and he said, go and see where he is, that I might sin and seize him. And I was told him because he is in Dothan. So he sent there horses and chariots and a great army. And they came by night and surrounded the city. And the servant of the man rose early in the morning and went out. And behold, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. And the servant said, alas, my master, what shall we do? If you look at it in the original, the servant actually said, what in the world are we going to do here? We've been surrounded. It's an impossible situation. The armies and the chariots have surrounded us. I'm guessing it went like this, like the servant was going out to get some water, and he could hear something up in the thing, and it was foggy, whatever. He's getting some water, and then all of a sudden he could see that their situation was changing and they were surrounded. And maybe you have been felt that way, that you felt surrounded by fog. There were times where the it's called a spirit of heaviness would come upon us, especially in Russia. There was a lot of oppression, and it was a fog that would come on us, and we had to see that more meets the eye. There was more going on, that there was a connection from the Holy Spirit, and we had purpose, and there are times that where you're going to have to rise up and say, hey, wait a minute. I know that greater is he who's in me than he who is in this world. But you got to see, like in verse 16, it says this. Elijah said, do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Sometimes it doesn't seem like that. Elijah was a man of God, all right? He was a man, not only was he anointed, but the Bible says that he said he had a double anointing. In other words, he had not just one ice cream cone, but he had two ice cream cones, all right? He was a guy that was so full of God, so in tune with God, but he knew this. And there has to come a point in our lives that you know that God is with you. Just like the worship leader said. She said, it's one thing when you say it, but whenever you got to walk this thing out and say, God, I know you're with me. You're going to be with me. And one thing that I've realized that there is a winning side, but there is also a losing side. Here we see that. There's a winning side and there's a losing side, but you got to decide what side you're on. The enemy, he knows your commitment level. He really does. He watches us. He sees. He says, I'm a leave this person, and then I'm going to come back. And if they are not committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to go back and get more demons. And I'm going to come back and I'm going to torment them more. So the enemy knows what side we're on. And so there has to be a repentance in our heart. There has to be a turning to say, God, I'm going to follow you all the days of my life. Jesus, I know that you are Lord. I know I'm going to follow you, and nothing will stop me. That's how it was in your marriage, wasn't it? Most of you who are married, you went to the altar and you said, I promise to follow you all the days. We're going to be together until death do we only part. And God honors this He honors whenever we give our hearts to him. But I tell you, there is a winning side and there is a losing side. There was a time that I've seen men. There was a young man in our church. His wife came to church. All right? She came to church, but he never did. He was against our church. I mean, radically against it. Would not tolerate his wife coming to our church. And so she would sneak into church on Sunday. She would tell him she's going to town, and she would come to church. And after time, probably about a year that I was at this certain city, there was a knock on our door, and it was the husband of this wife. And it was me and another pastor visiting whenever he came to visit us. So he walked, opened the door, and this guy, he was huge. And I thought maybe he was mad because his wife was coming to our church or whatever. But he walked in, and I could tell, like, he wasn't himself. He walked in, and he told us, he says, I need help. And we were like, really? He said, yes. So we brought him in our little kitchen, about 5x5, Russian kitchen. And we sat him down on a stool, and we began to pray over him. There's a winning side, and there's a losing side. And we began to pray that the Lord Jesus would deliver him. This man, he was in a panic. He was in a panic mode. He thought he was about to die. His blood pressure was up, et cetera, et cetera. You could tell it was on him. And we began to cast the enemy out because it was a spirit of torment. It was tormenting him. It was the first time I ever seen that in my life. The man was delivered. He received Jesus as his Savior. He repented of his sins and he gave his heart to the Lord Jesus. He was healed. He jumped up, and we began to pray for him to be filled with the Holy Spirit at that moment. Right there in my little kitchen. After he got saved, he jumped up and he was like, hallelujah, hallelujah. And he said, where can I get baptized at? This was like at 10 o'clock at night. And we were like, man, I don't know. I said, I don't know if you can fit in my bathtub. And so what we did, we took off and we found in Russia, they got a lot of bassin, how do you say that? Pools, like small pools that you can get into. And so that was the first time that guy got healed, delivered, saved, filled, and baptized all in one lick. And this guy, he started a drug rehab center. In Russia, it's still going today. It's got a lumber mill there, and God has radically saved him. So this praying wife realized that there's a winning side, that we're going to win. I'm going to keep on praying. I'm going to pray that my husband will come in, and whenever we get to this place. But you, let me just remind you that you have to be committed to this winning side. There's no wobbly here. You got to say, God, I'm with you. God, I'm going to follow you all the days of my life. God, if there are hidden sins, little areas, God says, I want you to come clean with this because the enemy is surrounding and he's getting closer. But I know the ending is going to be victory. There was a lady and a missionary couple who came to Russia to be a missionary. And on the mission field, they were in a certain city, and we would go visit them periodically. And we would go, probably every 6 months, and we'd go to the city and visit with them and talk with them. But she would say these little phrases that I would listen. You know, you pay attention to certain words that people say, and she would say stuff like, well, when I go back home. And I'd be like, wait, you're on the mission field. There's no more talk of home. Like, you had to get that mindset. I am here. I'm going to get in with the culture. I'm going to get to know these people. I'm going to eat their foods. And I'm going to spend some time with some Russians. And that was our mindset. Hey, we're going to. But I would hear her. She would say these little, my parents, they back home. And one day, we're going to go back. And it wasn't long. I think it was like a year. They were back home. They didn't commit. She didn't commit. And the enemy knows this. And what had happened, we found this out. You want me to go further? She moved to Russia, never took her clothing out of her suitcase. And the enemy knew this. I mean, think about it. Yeah, I'm going to serve you, Lord. God, I'm going to serve you. But you know what, God? I got a few things I just want to hold on to right here. God, I don't want to fully commit, you know, everything in my mind. Things, God, that's the stronghold right here. And God is saying, hey, empty that suit. In fact, throw the whole suitcase out of the window. Hey, you are here. And that's what there's a lot of truth to that in your spiritual life as well. God is knocking on your door. Hey, can you get rid of this thing? Can you quit being that way to your wife or your husband? Can you respect your husband? And the Lord that's a part of that baggage that you, the Bible says, love your wives, right? Honor your husbands. And that's where it's got to dwell up in us, and that's where we say, hey, I'm going to let go of this, and God, you're going to change me, and there's going to be success because there's winning. I'm going to win in this area because God is with me. He's not for me. He's going to do it in a great way. Remember this, that there's a winning side, there's a losing side, and remember this, when you know that the Lord of hosts, when you know him, when you know the Lord of hosts, there is no fear, right? There is no fear. There's no fear of a virus. Whenever you walk into places and you know, and it's not, you're not like being cocky, you're not being prideful, but you know that you are connected with the Holy Spirit and that God's presence is around you. Amen. There's a special grace upon you that you walk in it, and there's life there. And that's what Elijah, he saw something that someone else did not see. His servant was like, man, I don't see it. And he prayed over him. If we read further, he prayed over him in verse 17. It says, Elijah prayed. And the Lord, he said, oh, Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots. And so this is something that I had to do in my life. There's got to be a shift in my thinking to where there's no fear in the presence of the Lord. My eyes have been opened to what's around me. We've had a few grenades go off in our courtyard. We were surrounded one night by guns, and they stopped us in the middle of the night. And what do? You know, you cry. You could, I guess. Scream. We screamed a little bit, but you know, you just walk, and you know that you're connected to the Holy Spirit, and God's presence is with you. But once you get a glimpse of the greater, all right. Once you get a glimpse of the greater, and choose that what God is showing you. Once you get a glimpse of this, then the lesser has less strength upon you. I think about depression. Once you get a glimpse of God's presence, whenever you see that around this building, around you, whenever you see this, that there's a mighty army, God's presence is going to be with you, and it's going to lose its grip upon you. But whenever you realize that around you, Psalms 125:2, it says this. It says, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forward. And so around you, if you could look at yourself, you ever saw an entourage? You ever saw someone walk? You know what an entourage is? It's this movie star. They come in and they got this huge surrounding, or the president. He's got an entourage all around him. If you could see yourself when you walk into a grocery store, around you are the angels of God. The presence of the Lord is with you, that wherever you walk, that there's no fear. It's a key to victory whenever you do this. And we've had to do it, and some of you have walked through some of this. But the last thing is this, one of the things I want you to see is that whenever you see more that meets the eye, that you're going to have someone speaking to you. You're going to need an Elijah in your life. Who do you have in your life speaking to you? And you might say, well, you know, I've been saved for 30 years. So have I. And I still need some Elijahs speaking into my life. I love the guys here. Hunter, he's been a blessing. Now I have some new brothers here, you know, to confide in, to pray over me. I'm sure I can call these guys. I don't even know them, but a little bit I can call them and say, hey, brother, I need this. And you need these guys speaking into you. You need accountability. And the word there is ability. You need someone to speak in your life to see the ability that God has upon your life. And it's not that someone's going to try to stop you, but they're going to push you forward. But you got to stay accountable. And this young man, he did that. He's like, Elijah, I can't see this. So the man of God laid hands upon him. Oh, man, there's something there. He says, open his eyes. Open his eyes, that he would say. And this is a very important prayer. My parents have been this way in my life. They've been, be accountable. When I was 20, I gave my heart to the Lord, and I didn't have a license for about 3 months. And so I was home. And so every morning, every evening, we would read the Word of God. I had to keep myself in check. And that was kind of a Bible school. I had to force myself into this position and say, pray for me, lead me, guide me, show me which way. And God is able to do that. And whenever you do this, God's going to want to use you to spread the gospel, to spread the gospel. Whenever you see more than meets the eye, there's something that's going to be on the inside of you that when you see a lost person that doesn't see, they're blind and they're in fear, that you're able to give them hope. You're able to say, let me tell you something. You don't have to fear. The Spirit of God can be upon you as well. He can fill you right now in this supermarket. We can pray over you. And you begin, whenever you get this fire, you begin to see what others aren't seeing. How we need it. How we need Elijahs to rise up. How we need Elijahs who are not blind anymore, who will rise up and to say, God, I will spread your word, I will be loud, and I will raise up other ones. And so, more than meets the eye, God has put it on my heart, and I believe he's going to do it in a lot of your heart as well. But God is desiring life changes, amen, in our lives. And I'll end with this really fast, how God can use little old you. I want to write a sermon like that one day. God can use little old you. Because I was in Russia, you know, Cajun guy who rode alligators. A Cajun guy in Russia. I remember in the very beginning stages of our ministry in Russia, we were called by a pastor in a city called Shahani. And the city of Shahani is a closed military city. In other words, we had to have special permission to get up in there. And so we got to they invited us, and we went on a Tuesday, and they'll open up the church on a Tuesday. And about 60 people came that night. And we were, it was me and an interpreter and my wife, and I was preaching. And God began to move in a mighty way. And I preached a sermon, and God, it was one of the most powerful times that God moved. It was in the beginning. And God moved. And I, at the end of the, after I preached, I asked everyone, I said, do y'all want to come forth and receive the word of God? And man, all 60 of them ran forward. They ran forward. You know what I'm talking about? And so we began to pray, all right? And I just, God, anoint them. And me, as me and my interpreter, but after some time, my interpreter went that way, and I went this way. And all right, I knew a few Russian words, like, you know, God, Jesus. But I was saying anoint. I was saying pomodori, pomodori in Russian. I was pomodori, pomodori. And man, God began to do some great things among them. One lady, very timid lady, came up for prayer. And I began to say pomodori, pomodori, and man, she began to just jump up and down and spin around. And I was like, wow, praise the Lord. But after some time, I asked my interpreter, I was like, man, am I saying this word right? And he said, what are you saying? I said, anoint them. And he said, I said, he said, what are you saying? I said, well, I'm saying pomodori, pomodori. He said, you're saying tomato. All right? So here I was saying tomato, tomato, tomato. And God moved in spite of who I was. I could have said A, B, C in faith that God was going to touch them. The elderly lady who was dancing, she was delivered of a heart condition. She had a ton of medicine. She went home that night and didn't take any more medicine since that time. God miraculously healed her. Her son, who was in the army, he was in the back watching. Where was his mom going to church? He gave his heart to the Lord that night. Still saved today in church. And so when you see, like, more than meets the eye, that God's presence is with you, start in those little things that God is doing. Get under accountability and say, God, I'm going to be used by you in a mighty way. Amen. Well, that's what I wanted to share with you. If you need prayer, I want to open up to whatever Brother Sam is. I appreciate you and Hunter and you guys getting together and inviting us here. But it is a blessing to be with you. And I just want to end it with prayer. And if you do need prayer or anything, no tomatoes. Actually, whenever I go back to that city, that pastor always says, big tomato, pray over us. So, Father God, I thank you. God, I thank you for your people, God. God, I thank you, God, that you are birthing something in here, God. And I thank you, God, just like the word that went forth, that they will mount up as eagles, God, wings. God, the wind of the Holy Spirit will bring refreshing, oh God. And God, that miracles, signs of wonders, salvations, God, there will be an increase. And I thank you, God, for your Spirit for moving. And God, if there are people here, God, if there are ones here who have come here, God, without that commitment, God, they want to make that further commitment. God, I pray you move upon their hearts, oh God. God, I pray that you would draw them to your Spirit, God, that there would be an awakening here like never before. I thank you for what you're doing, God, and I pray your blessings upon the leadership here. And God, I pray just for an open heaven, God, all the plans, all the prayers, God, it's already begun, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.